This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for joining us on Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. On the show today, we're going to be speaking with Muna Munira, CEO and co-founder of Quirk. Now, Quirk is a Malaysia-based staffing and recruiting platform that aims to empower talent and businesses to sustainably navigate the gig economy. The platform has a pool of more than 20,000 trained gig workers that they call giggers and have served more than 50 organizations across industries such as the likes of DHL, Lazada, Love Bonito, McDonald's, and Sheraton Hotel and Resorts, to name a few. And Muna's going to talk to us today about the rise of the gig economy, fair pay and income security protections for independent workers, as well as flexi work for the future workforce. Muna, let's start with your background. It's in accounting and finance, right? So how did you find yourself creating this platform for gig workers?
Okay, Audrey, thanks for that question. So, so I'm a person of, I think, many different interests. Accounting and finance, money is something that is, I think, relevant to everybody. And it really speaks to me because I like, I see patterns in things. That's how it's always been with me. Yeah, so it's always been a mix. I'm a bit part of a mixed stuff. You know, I did a technical. I studied also a bit of engineering and architecture. And then I pursued accounting and finance. And when I came out, what's always been there for me is I love storytelling. That's just something that I do way back when, even in school, because I love reading. And, so when I came out, I wanted to be a stockbroker. I wanted to be a treasurer. And then my father owns a film production house. You know, so I came in essentially just waiting for, putting out all of my resumes, waiting for a job. I sorted out the accounting of the production house. And then I was intrigued by how things were done, you know, recording and everything else. So my father is, if you can imagine, one of these very typical Asian dads who, would involve their children in
the family business.
Yeah, correct. The family business. So he started us doing we were writing, me and my sisters especially, we were writing for him scripts and stuff way back when, even when we were in school, for people our age, you know, for textbooks and stuff. So it's just a big mix of stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, now I've discovered a new angle to production, you know, which is the creative parts, how do you shoot, how do you edit and things like that. And then I don't know, one of the things is just I always believe, because it's the power of observation and intrigue, so once you observe something and intrigues you, and then you have this very inquisitive mind, you start looking at things like, okay, how is this done, what's the logic behind this, and you kind of that was how I learned. So at the peak of it, I created my own contents as well. So I did film directing, and then I also love design. So I did graphics design, and then we also ran events. So just a big mix of a whole lot of stuff. So, so if you can imagine, essentially that's what the gig economy is. Mm. It enables, Audrey, I'm sure you are the same, So Gen Ys, essentially, the main difference between Gen Ys and Gen Zs is that, Gen Ys, our parents are mainly baby boomers, and one of the things that is given to us, because baby boomers, they experience a lot of difficulty. So one of the things that they give to their children, the Gen Ys especially, are a lot of things that they did not have. So hence we are very I think up to a certain point quite an entitled bunch of people. The generation is just like that. And then because you have a lot of room to express yourself, and you can adapt to so many different types of skills and your interests, your parents would never say no whatever you want to discover, as long as it's not a criminal or anything that is immoral, you know, go ahead. You know, the world is your oyster. So essentially, we become this very eclectic mix of people, you know, so it's like trying to celebrate this generation with the things that we can do. And, you know, like putting all of these talents that you have, like, for example, I'm sure Audrey has got so many other talents. So the idea of the gig economy is it gives you flexibility that you can test out all of these talents, and also at the same time, trying to address the issue that employers have when dealing with Gen Ys. For example, like me personally, I've been working for 11 years in 5 different industries. I do not stick to a lot of things very long. It's because I kind of like, I feel like when I reach a peak, then it becomes boring.
And you want to move and try something new.
Yes, try something else. Mm. Because you have so many talents, you know. So my current conquest is Quirk.
Right. So tell me a bit more about the platform and what you aim to do.
Yeah, okay. So the platform is, prior to, again, one of the questions that I usually get asked is, what's the difference between Quirk between, you know, before the pandemic to after the pandemic? So before the pandemic, what I shared just now in a nutshell, the very long explanation I gave is that, you know, we're trying to close the gap on employers' expectations towards Gen Y workers and now Gen Z workers, you know. So because, you know, one of some of the things are said about Gen Y workers is that you're not loyal, you know, you have an attitude problem. So the thing is, it's not, that's what they think. The fact is, it's something else. Something else is going in your head, you know. So there's the big generation gap that at the beginning, that's what we're trying to address. So as we go along and, you know, since the pandemic, you can really see that the gig economy is taking center stage in Malaysia also. It's because, you know, it's one of the solutions that allows employers to save their operational expenses. So everybody is, you know, we're having a crunch. It's a crunch time for everybody. Global economy is experiencing recession comparable to World War II. You know, that's how bad it is. And it's not getting any better since the past few months in Malaysia, you know. So it's a time when we kind of like all need to wake up and see, okay, efficiency is where we need to go. How do we efficiently, like, you know, like, say that, okay, so this is one worker. What is the output? The worth of the output is such that you have enough to pay this worker fairly and for you to earn such that your business can remain sustainable. You know, Audrey? So, yeah. So, that's, yeah. So, it has really gained traction this past 1 year, I'd say, especially.
Is it essentially a job recruitment platform? How would you describe what the platform does for gig workers?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So for gig workers, Quirk is big on gig workers is because we, you know, like we are trying to, so just now I've illustrated what we are trying to do for the employers. For gig workers, they have, of course, the reason why, you know, a lot of people do not want to embrace a gig economy is because of the limitations for the gig workers. For gig workers, the limitations that they receive. So, for example, you know, you do not have any safety net because the gig economy, as everybody knows, is, you know, it's something new and it's not governed by anything specifically. So it's more like a, you know, a responsibility of the employers, the platforms and the workers themselves, you know. So trying to govern this is where Quirk comes in. You know, so what we do for within our gig community is we ensure that our workers are paid fairly. And, you know, we are always looking out for parties to partner with such that we can add benefits to our workers. So right now we have we've partnered up with Lions Bank, for example, you know, and to enable our workers or people, giggers on Quirk, to get some facilities that they can get from a bank that otherwise would not be recognized because they are gig workers. So they do not have a one company that you work for, hence, you know, where is your income coming from? So for the gig workers, that's what we do. You know, we consolidate like all of the gigs that you take up on Quirk amounts to an X amount of income for you, and hence unlocks these different benefits for you. So we also we contribute to the workers that the gig workers that we have. If they want to put in money for their EPF, for their SOCSO, we also facilitate all of these things. Yeah. So essentially, that's why it's called a community, Audrey. So it's not so much of a, just a platform that matches you. We want to enrich both ends, all of the stakeholders. So we rise up together, not just, the platform is benefiting and then everybody else is just going all over the place. Yeah. In Virginia.
All right. It's already time for us to take a quick break, but we'll hear more from Muna Munira, CEO and co-founder of Quirk, in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me today is Muna Munira, CEO and co-founder of Quirk, a Malaysia-based staffing and recruiting platform that aims to empower talent and businesses to sustainably navigate the gig economy. Now, Muna, before the break, you were talking to us about some of the pain points that you hope to address with the Quirk platform. But whom would you consider your competitors in this space? And how is Quirk different from other platforms that offer a pool of flexi workers as well?
Yeah, okay. So that's a very good question. So if I were to list down our competitors, you would have like competitors who has by level. So somebody who's very near to you and somebody who is in the same space, but value proposition is different. So if I go by the lower one, the thing is, it's not fair, Audrey, to say that we are competing with Grab. We are competing with, the Indonesian Gojek, for example, or, your Lala Moves and whatnot. So because we do, those platforms can also be our clients, our employers as well. Yeah. So in this particular space, with exactly what we're doing and where we are heading, actually, as far as I'm concerned, and we constantly, find competitors online, I would say we do not have any.
And what's your business model, Muna? Where do you make your cut?
Yeah, so we charge a service fee for the employers. We do not charge our workers anything. And we work with a lot of partners to be able to, enrich the community. So essentially, the money comes from the business model is only the service fee.
Yeah. And what's the process, or what's the experience been like trying to onboard these partners? Are Malaysian companies receptive to adding gig workers to their pool of talent?
Yeah. Okay. So, Audrey, that's one of the most interesting things that we have seen. Since the pandemic. Yeah. So, prior to the pandemic, we were able to onboard. My favorite client is Zalora, for example. They're very, very loyal and we love them. So we buy from them and then we send to them people and stuff. Yeah, so it's really cool. So the thing is, with the clients that we have, as you mentioned earlier, there are many big names inside there. It's because I believe that, these are companies, or these companies are headed by leaders who is able to see through everything else that is going on, So the thing is, this is, criticizing our own community, our own society, but Malaysia on the whole, it's just an Asian thing. We're more laggards than, early adopters. In the beginning, when we started out, it was really, really difficult to get them to wrap their head around it, So typically, you would use gig workers to do something very, very simple, to support some operations that requires very hands-on types of jobs. And even then, they're still very skeptical, So So what has happened since the pandemic is, you know, employers do not have a choice now. You know, so they kind of like, you know, you need to stay alive. You need to keep the company open. So because SMEs, for example, these are like, like I shared with you my story before, you know, my father created the company when I was a kid. So imagine it's like it spans more than two decades age of a company, you know, so you're not going to let it go just because of a pandemic. You would try to do everything you can, you know, so hence you see a lot of people being put out, you know, so a lot of people lost their jobs. It's because company owners needs to like remain, you know, operational. Yeah, lean. Operational, but lean, you know, so now they're saying like, oh, okay, so this is what I can do. You know, so we have, we've worked with some of our partners who is, you know, like, okay, I have 5 or 10 full-time workers. But, you know, with the sales that is, you know, not coming in, especially since, you know, in the beginning of the MCO, you know, people were still trying to figure things out. So they wanted, at the same time, they wanted to keep their workers, you know. So what they needed to do or what... you know, what we did after discussion with them is that we manage their workers such that they keep only full-time just 2 of them who are in the senior, more senior positions. And the rest, the other 8, for example, is, you know, working just 2 days a week. So then what they needed to do for these workers, they are, we are the ones, or Quirk is the one who kind of like close that income gap that they now have. You know, they used to be paid for 5 days a week. Now you're paid only for 2 days a week. You know, so what they do is they come on Quirk and get gigs to kind of like support for the other 3 days a week. So then, you know, they can still work for this employer who loves them and doesn't want to let them go, but do not have the money to pay them, and still manage to live through the pandemic by taking up gig jobs. Yeah.
Right. So what do you think Malaysia needs in order to get up to speed when it comes to the gig economy? I mean, from a perspective of policies and regulations, is it the digital infrastructure? What does the country need in order to prepare itself for the future, which is gig-based?
Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I'm one of those people who believes that, you know, you need to make the change yourself. And instead of trying to, you know, speak to KLCC or trying to reach out to Putrajaya and, you know, like to the minister, this is what you need to do and things like that. You are a change maker yourself. You know, everything starts with you. So what we do is, you know, one of the things that... would benefit platforms like Quirk, so many other gig platforms. So awareness of the things that we can do, you know, like what we are doing right now, Audrey, you know, creating the awareness of what the gig economy is and what is hiring a gig worker like and things like that. Yeah, so that would really help. And I know there are a lot of issues and, you know, the thing about the media or, you know, mainstream media is, you know, sensational, loves to sensationalize things. Yeah, so content creators, you know, I was a content creator, so we do the same. So the thing is, there's a lot of focus on the gaps and everybody is just talking about Grab drivers or Grab riders, you know. So essentially for me, in my personal opinion, in my humble opinion, is you know, there is a lot of things that we can do ourselves. So, for example, as a platform, you take the responsibility to ensure that your gig workers or the giggers that are signed up on your platform are paid fairly. And you, as a company, of course, you need to be paid. You're not an NGO, you know. So, and the employers are also acknowledging that, okay, you know, for the quality of work that this gig worker can do, this is the amount that they deserve. So, everybody is happy. You know, the ecosystem is at peace. If not, it will be, you know, like, because it's always going to be, you know, somebody tarik, tolak, tarik, tolak, tarik, tolak. So if everything is fair, then, you know, stop bickering about these little things and kind of like sort out the bigger issues that we have. Yeah.
Right. Now, coming back to Quirk itself, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it's Malaysia-based, but of course you are looking to expand regionally. Maybe you want to talk to us about future plans and expansion for Quirk?
Yeah, sure, Audrey, thanks. So currently Quirk is in Malaysia and Indonesia. And soon in 2022, we're looking to expand to Singapore. So, you know, part of the expansion is to really learn about a country and the different quirks and the cultures within that country, you know. So in an effort of doing so, this year, back in May, we joined an accelerator program by 500 Startup Singapore. Yeah, so it's been very, very interesting, very intensive. You know, so we were selected for the batch 3. We were mentored by, you know, very experienced entrepreneurs who's really made it and, you know, how to go about things. And what they also gave us is exposure to some of the partners that we are working or we are on talking terms right now, you know. So, yeah, so it has really helped us. So the thing about expansion is to always learn about the market from somebody who is a local within that market itself.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, so that's the major takeaway is that we can unlock all of these networks and contacts from this accelerator program. The end game for the Quirk platform is to really see the gig economy take off, you know, and to really celebrate the community that we have. So because, you know, we track how people grow and the types of upskilling that they take up and the different types of gigs that they can take up, you know. So with the training that, you know, we give to them. And so essentially it's like giving them tools to be able to do other things, you know. So really for this to really thrive and, you know, the potential of the gig economy is massive. You know, Southeast Asia alone, according to Deloitte, pre-pandemic is about $6 trillion USD. You know, that's just Southeast Asia. So beyond Southeast Asia, you know, we may not even have the words for the potential. Yeah, so yeah. So really to make this grow, a lot of things in the pipeline. It's been really an interesting ride, you know, since the pandemic, you know, people's perceptions has changed. So a lot of employers are willing to explore what gig workers can do for them. And, you know, like changing their mindset from I need somebody who is going to be at my beck and call to somebody who is there to deliver this part, you know, to really optimize their operations. Yeah, so it's been very interesting, Audrey. And we look to having more, maybe one day share more stories with you.
Of course, and we'd be glad to have you back again, Muna. Now, for our listeners tuning in who might be keen to learn more about Quirk or maybe even sign up, is there a website that they can go to?
So for employers or for those of you who want to know about Quirk, please go to qwork.my, Qwork. We pronounce it as Quirk, yeah, Quirk.my, and you can have all of the information there. For gig workers, you can download our app for free, sign up for free on both Android and Apple Store, yeah.
All right. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I've been speaking with Muna Munira, CEO and co-founder of Quirk. And you've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.